to the No BS Short-Term Rental Podcast, an unfiltered look into the global vacation and short-term rental industry.
I'm Mateo Bradford.
And I'm John Stokinger.
And this is our podcast. We bring the right people to the table at the right time, giving you an inside view and take on the short-term rental industry like no other podcast can.
Morning, Mateo. How are you, man?
Man, doing just fine. How are you, brother?
I am great. What is this, 17? Episode 17?
This is episode 17.
Last episode with Steve Milo had our biggest first week ever. So big shout out to Steve. Thanks for joining us. Big news. And it was nice seeing him in person at the DARM conference.
It's good to see you in person at the DARM conference.
I know.
That was our first time live. First live recording together. Yeah. Well,
went pretty. I mean, you know what was interesting too about that? There's so many great takeaways from that conference, and I know we're going to talk about it today. But the I didn't get the opportunity to talk with Sarah and T like I wanted to. But seeing their setup and seeing them doing their thing, and you know, and they were great conference like MCs. They did a great job. Truly, they brought a little bit
Sarah
different
and T from the future.
It was a little wonky. Yeah. It's a little funny, but you know, they brought the energy, and it was needed. And I think it was welcomed. You know, I think it
was super authentic too. Like I tried to tuck in Tim's tag one time. He had a tag hanging. I was like, no, it's part of my deal.
Yeah.
So attention to detail, man. I love it. Yeah.
You know, it was cool. And, you know, being newer to this space now, you know, 17 episodes. So, you know, I guess we're not babies, but we're still babies compared to them and all these, you know, industry, you know, industry. So it's the interesting thing about it all is just seeing how like professional they were and their setup. And I was like, oh, there's aspirations, you know, we know how we want to go ahead and do it, but, and we did it just fine with how we did it. I think, you know, where we're going, it's going to be pretty exciting.
I'm definitely excited as well. And it was good to see everyone. Same with Matt Landau. I sat down, you know, got to talk with him. It's a friend. But you know, again, looking at the people who have, and you see what he's producing now, right? And what they're producing. And it's just super inspiring, man, because I think there's so much room to grow within this space that it's refreshing to continue to see it grow as the relationship and the industry grows and professionalizes, that, you know, it's happening in all aspects of the business as well. And seeing how people keep continuing to push the envelope. I'm with you, brother. It's inspiring, and I know you and I are going to definitely be on that train and keeping this thing growing, keeping it fresh, keeping it relevant.
I love our direction, and you know, and everyone else has their own little niche too, and that's what it is pretty great, you know. Alex and Annie, it looks like they have an announcement coming out here soon, which is exciting for them. I'm excited to see what, you know, what they're going to go ahead and do. And, you know, there's the guest experience podcast that's come out, you know, recently. I have listened to one of those. It was decent. I enjoyed it. So it's exciting to see the different spaces, and then how are we all going to fit and who's going to stick around? You know, that's something to consider too. You know, I feel pretty good that we've gotten to where we've gotten, and it's consistent, and we're doing our thing. I think it was it Heather Barron that said, you know, you had to get 7 under your belt. I think that was the number, you know, and if you look on, someone was saying that the majority of podcasts on Apple Podcasts, have like 2 episodes or less.
Yeah.
I think so. Will, I mean, it's
Will,
crazy.
Will was on this, that, right?
Yeah.
Will, I think that came out. Yeah.
Yeah. Will Slickers and the hospitality.
Crazy.
But
so, yeah, man. this is yeah, man. It's, we're not stopping. This is fine.
So Darm, the Charleston, great show, great people. It'd been way too long. The energy was infectious. It was, you know, the people were just, you know, chomping at the bit to have these conversations that we haven't had in person for so long. And we had the opportunity to go to the VRMA Connect in Destin, and that was good. It was, you know, it was necessary. It was needed. It was nice. It was very, you know, regionalized. It was very focused for that area.
Right.
But this just felt different.
Yeah, it did. Well, I think, so first of all, I think there's two things that go into that, right? Like, you have to look at the timing. Like, back in May, you know, not everybody was comfortable, you know, traveling and getting out and really, in a lot of these kind of early, you know, conference and get togethers are kind of like litmus tests too, right? Like, to see, hey, you know, are people comfortable? You know, when we were there, you know, you saw how the layout was. It was gloves, masks, and, you know, and hand sanitizer everywhere. You know, VRMA came up with those. I mean, they had the wristbands there to kind of indicate, you know, people's levels of comfortability. And, you know, I think you were getting clear signs, you know, because we were all there, right? Like, and then you're getting clear signs that, all right, people are ready to get back to this. Right. You know, we want to do it the right way. We want to do it the safe way, of course, but, you know, people are ready to get back at it. And that was clearly my takeaway. And I think coming into Darm and seeing, you know, just the amazing attendance and just the conference in and of itself proved that fact even more. I know a few people that didn't go just because they weren't personally comfortable with that yet. But most, as you can see, the place was packed out, right? Like, there was a good amount of people there. And I think it's a good indicator for us in the industry that, hey, people are ready to get back at this. They're ready to do it the right way. You know, Amy always puts together a very well organized and orchestrated conference, and this was no exception. You know, I think they're, you know, that hotel and everything, you know, I mean, you look at it, the only thing that can stop like one of Amy's conferences is the weather, right? Like, as it did the first day. And that was crazy, but, you know, the best group in the world for that to happen to, right? Right. Property managers who are kings and queens of exception management, right?
And for those that weren't in attendance, the interesting thing that happened day one is a storm came through and it knocked the power out to like the majority of the hotel minus like three or four rooms. Yeah. So, you know, which was great. One of the rooms was the largest room there. So we're still able to go on, but, you know, a couple of the sessions got canceled or moved elsewhere. And so that was an interesting hiccup. But the most interesting thing about all of that too was back in early, shoot, I guess this was 2019 or 2020. I don't know exactly. And her VRM Intel in Sandestin, she had the same thing happen where the power went out and it was absolutely like, it was crazy. Back to this one here in Charleston, Park, you know, our good friend Doug Kennedy was was stuck in an elevator for 50 minutes by himself, you know, and of course Doug, he's sitting there taking selfies and, you know, documenting everything, but like the ringer wasn't working, and that would have been crazy. I guess a first for everything, right?
We're going to get together a panel. We're going to do an episode. We're going to do conference war stories. That, you know, minor hiccup in that space, you know, handled very well, you know, things, the show went on. But, you know, and back to the topic at hand, you know, it was clear, you know, we were ready to get back to this. I think this was a successful conference. Very educational. I think I learned a lot, and was excited to get back at it and, you know, get the value of what networking in person really does. And, you know, I think that's was evident here, that, you know, a lot of us are ready to get back to that. And I don't think it's at, you know, the expense of safety or the other things. I think, you know, most people were adults. You know, people wear masks if they felt comfortable with doing that. And, you know, everyone was washing their hands and hand sanitizing, which, you know, personally, right, I think is a huge part of that. But, Anyways, yeah, no, shout out to Amy. The conference was great. I think this is, you could really call it the real kind of kickoff for the season. And, you know, she always leads with a great conference and brings great people to the table. And, you know, and she's always, you know, shout out to Amy. Like, we're the No BS podcast, and she's definitely in a No BS camp for the industry. You know, always, you know, kind of asking the relevant questions, whether they're, you know, edgy or not. And, you know, it's good for us.
Speaking of, well, I don't want to get off the content, but let's go back to Amy and Edgy in a little bit. Yeah. And for those that don't know who Amy is, Amy Highnote. She is with VRM Intel. She's the founder of VRM Intel. You're not getting her magazine, I'm not sure if it's going to be digital or print or whatever the direction moving forward. Yeah. She puts out an amazing quarterly magazine that is so much amazing content. You need to check it out. So huge shout out to Amy Highnote. Again, I want to go back to her being edgy, but I want to talk about continuing with Dharm here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's content is king.
Yeah.
And that can't be overstated. And in this conference, with a focus on data and revenue management, and really brought in the players and not from a our side, the vendor side, but more of the side, like, great. Yeah, of course we had some big players in that, but those that wanted to go to this conference went for a reason. They wanted to learn, and the sessions were on point. And there's so much wealth of knowledge to be brought out of there. And so the PMs that were in attendance, you know, that I was talking to, just like, oh, it was refreshing, because it wasn't cookie cutter filler BS. It was actual, I'm going to go in, I'm going to learn, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take a wealth of knowledge back to my team. And, you know, maybe we're going to, you know, look at things a little bit differently. And now maybe we're going to go ahead and talk to this different company, because holy shit, look what they're doing. And look at the ROI here. So it was really cool there.
No, and I would agree. And so, you know, for my situation this year, I actually came in as both, right? Like at the end of the day, you know, I actually came now as a manager, as someone who, you know, it can, you know, take this information a little bit differently. I was always interested at the prior conferences, just, you know, learning, you know, kind of the space, right? And, you know, who the players are, what's the latest, these things. But, you know, coming from my background at Rennet, it was a revenue management company. It was, you know, I saw it a little bit differently, but coming as a property manager who's actually managing properties hands on, you know, the information hit differently, because it wasn't just for like reference knowledge. Now there were applicable, you know, principles that I could take away from this, you know, whether it was SEO, whether it was, you know, the actual, how you manage and how you, you know, what your revenue management strategy for your business is, hit a whole lot differently. And so being able to see the value from that standpoint, like, gave me a whole new perspective on the conference, like, in a whole new, like, I really walked away with a wealth of knowledge that, you know, I would have appreciated before, but now I got things that I can put in, that I can put in place and try, and more questions and people to engage. And, you know, there's, you know, relationships also that you build within that space too, you know, with, you know, the people, you know, that are on these panels, and, you know, other property managers, and being able to network in a different way specific to this aspect of the business. And so I think that value is super critical. And, you know, I think it was a great conference for that, for sure.
Yeah. It's, I mean, the networking, you know, like you mentioned there, just that whole, like, my favorite part of the conference, outside, you know, of the things that we did together, and obviously, you know, coming from track and, you know, me, I built great relationships, and I was able to set up a ton of demos. Great. All right. I'm a vendor, and that's my job. It's a good job to me. But my favorite part about the whole thing for me truly was a conversation that I had at the end of the whole conference. Everyone had gone. It was after the end of reception. There was five people in a room, and I had the ability to sit down and bullshit with some great minds that was super intimate, and it was kind of off the cuff, and it was stuff that necessarily wouldn't have been said in front of everybody. And I got so much out of that. And shout out to, you know who you are. It was a great conversation. and truly, that was one of my favorite parts of the whole conference right there. And that was it. Like, it's a truly organic experience that happened just because we all happened to walk into the room at, you know, two were already having a conversation. I came up, then two others pulled up a chair. You guys cool? We sit down, you know, you talking business? No, we're just bullshitting. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. 45 minutes later, we're still sitting there having this amazing conversation. And, you know, it was cool. Yeah, then that's what it's about.
And I think that is absolutely what it's about. And, you know, that's one of those, you know, things that, you know, that I call them intangibles, because, like, you know, again, it's not guaranteed to happen at every conference. But when you really build a climate of less barriers and open dialogue, and, you know, kind of and allow those types of environment. I mean, that's how we got this together. Where did this started from? Those conversations, right? Like those off the cuff, off the script, in the background, you know, of course, over a libation or two. But, you know, that's when the bullshit filter goes away and you start having, you know, these intimate conversations that are relevant with people who are relevant and driving and are actively steering, you know, the direction of the industry. And so I think that can't be, you know, overemphasized. And, you know, you look to the other conferences, and it's going to be interesting to see, man, like how these spring out. And, you know, to go back to Amy, like, you look at what people are doing in terms of relevancy in the space. You know, I'm a person of verbs, man. I like verbs. I like to see what people do, right? Versus what they say they do. Who put the first women's conference together, right? Like, you know, who's been challenging the industry, like in their own way, while still being a relevant part of the industry and shaping the industry at the same time. Like, you know, that seems to me is where the future is going to be, right? And you know, the success of people in this space is going to go to the ones who are, you know, venturing into the new pathways in a sensible way, and willing to offer new, fresh, and relevant content to, let's not forget, the people who drive this industry, which is our hosts, managers, you know, the ones who are on the ground, you know, keeping the industry alive, the ones at the business, the transactional level. It's those property managers, and whoever best can serve them is going to survive in this space. And I think we're going to see more kind of niche conferences too, like that are focused on different aspects of the business.
You're always going to have you're going to have your general conferences that are going to bring everyone together. And then you're going to have your software platforms that are going to go ahead, and they're going to want to go ahead and put their user conferences together. And there's a lot of great knowledge and stuff like that. And those are great. And, you know, and this, the first shout out that I'm going to, the best user conference I ever went to prior to our upcoming, hopefully we'll see at Track, was Streamline. Streamline, shout out to Streamline, put together an amazing conference and the reason they did it is it was like, there was actually, you know, pertinent information for PMs to go in and talk with other PMs that are using the exact same software. They're in the weeds together, and it wasn't cookie cutter. And the great thing that I love, and I hope that we replicate on the TravelNet solution side, is they would go ahead and put out like different tiers of like entry level learning, mid level learning, and expert level learning courses that you could go in and use it. You know, hey, you've been coming to this conference for 3 years straight. All right, you've now graduated. Let's get some more in depth. Let's get like really dive into the weeds. And Streamline always did a great job with that. I'm no longer invited now that I.
which is a shame, man.
But you know, previous shout out to Streamline for putting it together, a great conference. Yeah.
It's interesting though, because you look at that, you look at the others in the space that have done it. And, you know, I've seen the same with Avanti. I've gone to their partnership conference that they have in Valencia, and they bring their managers in, and they create these, you know, really unique experiences and opportunities for their managers to come. And it's not just to learn their systems. It's actually to learn, you know, different aspects of the business. And I see that aspect growing. You know, I guess he does the same thing, like able to keep it fresh. I'll be 100% honest. Like one of my favorite conferences was Guestaball. And it wasn't just because it was going to Israel and all the other aspects. Like that was actually super dope. That added to the experience. But I actually learned a lot. They brought a lot of people to the table. Right. Sessions were very good. And one of the things that they did too was you know, what I love about Gessi is they're all about, they get the feedback. They want to get feedback. So they're holding sessions with not just Ben, not with vendors and with managers, like everyone's involved in the process, which I believe gives them the ability to get a broader kind of consensus in the space. Right. And while adding value, because at the end of the day, if you don't add value, people aren't going to go. So, you know, I think that's the end, right? Let the people, again, you can't throw a conference. It's all vendors.
I mean, let's get back to that. You have to have that value because for a couple of reasons. A, you need the content, you need the value. But these aren't cheap.
No, not at all.
You know, they're not cheap to go to. If you've never been to a conference, it's totally worth it, the right one. But they're not cheap. And two, you know, you're pulling valued members away from your team at a time that is potentially busy. That's why they all happen in the fall after the summer. You know, because there's, you know, you have that shoulder season, you have that little bit of time where there maybe have a quick breather before reservations start kicking in and you're, you know, getting everything ready for, you know, 2022 or whatever the next, you know, next quarter. But they're, you're like, you're down team members, you're down money, but it's worth it if the content's there. I want to quickly go back to Amy and then let's get into the news. Again, another huge shout out to Amy. And the reason why the No Bullshit Short-Term Rental Podcast really aligns with Amy is because she's no bullshit. And I friggin' love that about her. I love how she doesn't pull punches. She speaks her mind and she puts the truth out there, which is great. And it's unbiased. I want to bring, she had a post yesterday on LinkedIn and I want to, and you know, basically it was vote for Brandon Sauls at ICND. Shout out to Brandon, good friend of ours. Great dude.
Shout out to Brandon for sure.
Yeah. Vote for him for VRMA Board of Directors 2021. And she has this post. And this is, again, not a knock from Mateo and I to VRMA, but this is important. And I love that she can go ahead and call us out. You know, both Teo and I are on, I'm on the VRMA membership committee. You know, Mateo is the co-chair of the DEI subcommittee of VRMA. So we love Verma. We love the, you know, where we're going, but this is a great post and I want to go, and this is why I love Amy. And so blah, 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 vote for Brandon Sauls for the Verma board of directors. And then she has this other paragraph that said, and unlike a couple of current directors in the board's supplier seats, he actually works in the vacation rental industry. It would be extremely helpful if the VRMA would update their title/companies on the about/board of directors page on the VRMA website to accurately reflect the roles and companies of the current board members. I love that she just sits there and says, I'm putting this shit out there. And guess what? It's true.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, she's not speaking falsities.
Right.
You know, there are people on the board of directors that are no longer in the space.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily make sense. And they're friends of mine.
Yeah.
They're friends of yours, you know, and whatever, if they bring quality, you know, but whatever the case, calling it out, putting it out there, let's talk about it. Let's discuss it. And if a better person like Brandon or whoever is a better fit, vote, put them in or not.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because again, there's two ways, right? Like, you know, two ways to look at it. And, you know, there's the aspect of, you know, they're on the board, they may still have significant interest and assets in the space, right?
Right.
So again, what, how many people have other things going in the space that may or may not be industry related? I think what you have to look at and what the industry has to do, VRMA and everyone else, is clarify, what are the parameters within that space? And if, you know, it's definitely worthy of having the conversation, but I don't think we would argue that either, you know, those people on that board that are in that space aren't significantly contributing even still to the industry.
100%.
That part, I think so.
And they're qualified. They are qualified. Like, I don't want to, like, I'm not, don't want to, I personally,
but I think the question, I think, but again, it's bringing that to the board, right? And what I like about what Amy does is bring it to the table, let the conversation happen.
Yep.
And then, you know, again, I think too often people just, you know, they see optics from afar and then they, you know, they're like, oh yeah, well, what about this? Well, let's really dig into what we're talking about, right? And that's what I feel like Amy does a really good job. She puts it on the table. She brings the relevant people together. And then let's have a conversation about it. Let's talk about this. Like, what's really going on? Like, what's the real deal? And not letting people get away with those very surface level, don't make any waves type answers. You know, that's why you see Steve on the panels, right? And it's people that are not afraid to speak what, you know, argue what you want, but their truths. Right. And how they feel within the space. And that's valid because we need to take all of that into consideration. You know, I think, you know, we don't do ourselves any justice if we just sugarcoat over things and, you know, don't speak our truths. Now, our truths are our truths. Right. Like, you know, again, it's the industry is it, and what the industry accepts and what the managers accept and what people accept is what creates the truth. Right. In terms of what's factual and what happens, you know. Our opinions and our personal truths just, I feel like, are information that can guide, for better or worse, you know, what happens. And the more we can get that, I think the more as consumers we can make, you know, decisions that are best for us. And, you know, there's not just one voice, one solution, one way to do things. And I think that's, it's important to be able to keep diverse conversations going like that. So, you know, we're never just following one track and thinking that there's only one way to go for everyone in this industry. It just doesn't work that way. We're too diverse. There's too many different lanes.
Yeah. And so. That's why, you know, truly, if we bring this back around to us, which we like to do, that's why we're being successful. That's why this podcast is a success out of the gate. Is because we're not necessarily just going that straight and narrow. You know, we're showing all sides of the story. We're bringing guests to the table that aren't on other podcasts in our space. And truly, we have a whole stable full of guests that are chomping at the bit to get on our show that are going to just bring like really unique, dynamic conversations. It's all about the conversation.
I agree. But it's and again, I think it's the conversation, and I think it's, you know, I hope people learn from this, and I hope that, you know, these our conversations spark other conversations within the space, and, you know, I do think we need to have like a conference panel. It'd be interesting because, you know, getting like Antonio Bartolotti, who runs the World Summit, he runs an amazing conference too. Shout out to him. Definitely want to give him a shout out. Going to miss that one this year, but he puts together a really good content. Based, you know, conference that people actually travel from all over the world to go to.
Right.
And so, and again, and it's being able to, and I think the value in that is, you know, when we go to Europe and Europe comes here and, you know, all over the world, Asia comes here, like you're having these diverse conversations about our industry globally. Right. And to be able to have them honestly and to be able to network and share in those experiences, honestly, I think benefits all of us, right? It's definitely sharpened my toolkit. It's broadened my perspective, and I think it's you know, taught me a lot in this space. And, you know, again, I can only speak for me.
Right. But
I believe that the more and more we can do that, and more that happens, and that there's so much space to grow. There's so many new things happening that, you know, everyone in this space, I feel like, will be able to, you know, kind of drive their own lane. And I think we'll all be better off for it.
I agree wholeheartedly. And it's, yeah, I don't really have much more to add than other than I agree with you on that. What about, okay, a couple things in the news, today, Airbnb, pledges to house 20,000 Afghan refugees. He says, Chesky says, in response to what he called one of the biggest humanitarian crises of our time. What are your thoughts on that, Teo? You know, is that a,
I think there are ways. Let's be very clear. I believe two things. I believe the situation's fucked up over there, period. It's not one person's fault. I don't care about the politics of it. I care about the people. Like, you look at what's going on over there. There is a reason there is a mass exodus coming out of this space. I understand the other side of that too. You know, it is, it's very hard in a world where so many people are suffering to, you know, ask suffering people to be understanding and accept, you know, the suffering of others over themselves. It breaks down to a humanitarian issue. I personally believe we should be doing everything possible to help these people out, you know, particularly, you know, from my own vantage point and my own opinion, the people who have helped out this country in that situation, the ones who's, you know, especially the ones that have sacrificed and really put themselves and their families in danger to help us in whatever our cause was. And I believe personally, that is our duty to protect those that, you know, helped and protected us overseas, and as well as taking care of our own citizens. And on top of that, I don't know the Taliban. I don't know any of that stuff. I know that it is a very unsafe situation and people are clearly fearing for their lives. And I believe that the world should be able to help those people.
Right.
I don't care about the politics of it. I don't give a shit about any of the other stuff. I do know there is an economic issue surrounding it, but I also believe that we are some of the richest nations in the world. And if there is a clear threat to these people and threat to this community, then the world community, I feel, you know, could come together and do this in a way that, you know, could really help these people out without putting out their own people. And so, you know, if we don't do that, again, it's just shame on us for not using the resources that we've had and you know, the ability that we have to help these people. So, you know, shout out to Airbnb, shout out to anyone that's willing to, in a good spirit and good nature, help those in need right now.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm going to try not to get political on this. You know, I come from obviously a different background. I'm prior military. I spent a year overseas, not in Afghanistan, but in Iraq, in active army. And this is back in 2003, 2004. I think that humanitarian number one is this. Yeah. I agree with you on that. This, like, you know, these people are suffering, you know, and it really doesn't matter why or how, but, you know, okay, now I'm going to try not to get too political. You know, I feel, this is my personal feeling, not necessarily Mateo's, my feeling is that this is a mess that we made in a situation that we shouldn't have been in over 20 years ago. That's my personal feelings. I feel that if we had, we are as in one of the greatest nations in the world. We are being a puppeteer and moving, you know, marionettes and chess pieces all around. And this is the, you know, the fallout. And this is the fallout now. This was the fallout 20 years ago. And, you know, a mass exodus, you know, how we did it this time isn't necessarily, in my personal opinion, the right way to do the way, because it 100% expedited the terror and the, you know, the downfall over there. Do I have the right answer? No. We can't go back in time. We can't go back in, you know, so again, let me take my political hat off and just, mm-hmm. you know, go back to the humanitarian thing. You know, a huge shout out to Brian Chesky and whoever else wants to jump in and help these people in need. Why we're there doesn't really matter. We are there and it sucks and people are hurting. And, you know, I think it's an unfair comparison to, again, now I'm putting my political hat back on, comparing this to Saigon is apples and oranges. So I want to go ahead and just, that's my personal opinion. I think that's a bullshit fucking, just trying to get some bravado
clout chasing. Everyone's going to clout chase and take advantage of the opportunity and make the comparisons. And again,
but that's me personally. That's bullshit. Yeah. Apples and oranges. Shout out to Airbnb and whoever else wants to jump in and help these people in need. That's me. I'll get off my horse here.
No, I agree. And I think it's going to take all of us to fix it, you know, so, you know, shout out to our European partners and understanding that, you know, yeah, we're for better or for worse, you know, America's shouldering the, you know, the blame and the, you know, the responsibility for fixing this. And, you know, we're doing it. We're not perfect. End of the day, you know, none of this is perfect. And so, you know, hopefully I just pray for the best for all of those, you know, in harm's way and hope that we can all come together and help those who are really in need. But so shout out to Airbnb, another Airbnb interesting tidbit. I don't know if you saw that Skift article by Matthew Parson that came out it's a couple of days ago. It said startups are spending more on Airbnbs than office rent.
That baffles me. I mean, I can see that, it, yeah. But it, yeah, yeah, yeah. That baffles me. Like, yeah. I understand with, you know, with everyone going to work from home, but still needing to go ahead and get together and do different things in these offices, downsizing to go ahead because, hey, we don't need this, you know, this 40,000 foot, you know, square foot office space anymore. We need a small office space, but then we need some areas where you can go ahead and get together and like teams can meet. You know, shoot, my teams, we're flying out to Bend next week to go ahead and do a sales retreat, you know, per case in point. And where are we staying? Vacation rental. Kind of ours, you know, but same thing. It baffles, but it doesn't. Yeah.
No, it doesn't. I think, you know, again, if you look at what happened last year too, right? Like, you know, when executive teams needed to meet, when, you know, offices shut down, but people still needed to connect. And, you know, the industry saw it. That's where the boom came from. You know, and it wasn't just executives, you know, huddling up to work together. It was families that were getting out of the city that, you know, had the kids and needed, wanted more space and wanted to get out of their house and could work from home. And, you know, it's, you know, if you have a startup and the startup is your family, where do you think that money was going? Right. And so, let's be clear too, we're talking about startups, right, that are typically smaller in size and scope. So they probably have more flexibility to be able to go versus, you know.
What do you classify a startup then, you know, Taya? What do you classify? Like, is it like a, I know there's a ton of different ways to look at it.
It's a state. I think, I mean, I don't know if there's an actual metric. We have to look that up. But I think it's an earlier stage company, right, that isn't necessarily formally established within the market. So I have to look up, you know, what the actual classification is for that. That's actually going to be, I'd be actually interested. Now, from my understanding of it, it's just early stage company.
Right.
That, you know, is still building out, you know, whatever it's doing, whether it's, you know, it's.
But for example, a company that's been around for 20 years, but is finally making waves. And now they're like, they're looked at as an overnight success, you know, and, you know, new startup, like you see this in the news, but shoot, they've been doing this for 20 years and, you know, now they're finally at, yeah, I know, but you know, the news and media will go ahead and grasp onto that. This startup, like this overnight success. Well, shoot, not really. But yeah, I guess to each.
I think it's so like one of the things I had to learn when coming to this is what's the difference between a startup and an early stage company, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Because I think, you know, you can be stuck in a stage for a while, right? But if you're truly a startup, I think there's a point in where you become a functioning business to where you're not a startup, right? Payroll's in effect. You have a long runway. You're not worrying about, you know, am I going to be able to keep my tech team in, you know, 5 weeks,
right? Right.
If I don't get this next round of funding.
Is there a differentiator, do you think, between one that's in seed rounds and say one that's bootstrapped? Are there different actual like clarifications and, you know, for, you know, quote unquote startups, depending on how they're financed? Does that have a.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm actually trying to look up the definition right now. Because I don't know that it's a time. I think it is a time, you know, I think it's a time frame, but I think it's more of a positional definition in terms of, if that makes sense, versus like what stage are you at?
Right.
You know, I mean, because if you're you know, going into your Series B round, are you still considered a startup? Like I don't know.
I don't know. What is it? We're gonna have to get a. We're gonna have to get someone on to chat. This is gonna be a great conversation.
People that we could bring on to have that conversation. Couple. So I think that'd be super interesting. But
hey, speaking.
But yeah, of, no, I found that. I found that that article interesting. I think that's everyone's talking about what's business gonna do. When's business travel coming back? I think it's gonna be back, but I think it's gonna be more in line with the short term rental side of the business. I think whether it's apartels, condo tells. People are looking outside of, traditional hotel stays, right? And it brings up the point now, like, too, you saw what hotels are doing this week, right? You saw what hotels are doing now. Now they're charging for amenities.
And Microsoft is doubling down.
Oh, yeah. I saw that, too. They're investing in OA. So I think we have a corporate conversation. We may do a corporate episode. We got some good people we could talk to in that space. I think it bring in, because I think that, again, everyone's like, oh, what is the business traveler going to look like? And the way this virus is going, I don't know what's going on in Fort Wayne, but in Georgia, it's not looking too hot. I think we got like 23,000 students under quarantine right now going back to school. So if they're like, all right, they shut schools down again, that's going to have a reverberating effect backwards. Parents going to have to stay home, so this work from home trend, from what I think and what I see, is going to continue for a while. From those I know, they have super flexibility that work in corporate right now. They can go in 2 days, 3 days if they want, but they can work from home majority if they need to.
Well, it's interesting too.
It's changing, man.
And so the interesting thing is, like, all these companies are like, hey, by, January 2022, we're going to be, back to work, where it's going to be, 2/3 you have to be in, we're not going to be full. And that was a couple months ago. Now we're starting to see the trend come back again. Like, never mind. This hybrid model or your choice to work from home or not is going to be here to stay. At least for the foreseeable future, because things are not, whatever the case and whatever your beliefs are, and again, we're not going to get into the politics and or the science of COVID and the Delta variant and all this different stuff, whatever the case, it has an effect on us.
No, absolutely.
It has an effect on the industry. It has an effect on our financial securities. It has effect on absolutely every aspect of our lives if you have children, these schools, I think right now here in Fort Wayne, public schools are seeing they went back to school a week ago. We homeschool, so we don't have to worry about that. But they went back a week ago and they're seeing, a 10% increase. So, I mean, it is what it is. We'll see what happens. And we'll see the effects of this.
It's the same here. And look, this is not like everything else. This is not an easy situation to handle, right? Like, kids can't get vaccinated, right now, whatever your belief is about that or not. But, at the end of the day, I was listening to a story on NPR like yesterday. It was telling the story of two parents, right? Like that, one's against a mask mandate in the school. The other one is like, maybe has to move because the school they go to has no mask mandate and they got an immunally sick child. Like, they can't get sick necessarily, so they can't go back to school. And it's like, just what do you do? Who do you serve? Like, and it's such a complex problem. And I think we throw so much pressure on people and leaders to have all the answers immediately. And, I hope that we, through all of this, regardless of our beliefs, step back and understand, like, look, our generation's never had to deal with anything like this right now. We don't have all the answers every time. We have to start treating each other with understanding and stop vilifying each other and understand that, look, you do have one thing in common, right? Especially when it comes to kids. You want the best for your kid. Nobody wants to send their kid to a dangerous place. Nobody wants their kid to get sick, and all of the other noise around that comes from, misinformation or the beliefs or whatever, political beliefs or whatever. But I think we just got to make sure that we focus on, again, having some understanding, looking at and being understanding and not just shutting each other down, not just shutting down other viewpoints, at the end of the day, too, understanding that there's misinformation out there on both sides of this. And a lot of what's being driven is emotional in this, and really just toning down the temperature, man, having a real conversation with your neighbor. Understanding that, hey, I don't care if you don't like him or not. If you like him or not, look, understand that y'all do have a baseline. There is a baseline for us. and building off of that baseline. That's what's important, right? You know, approaching with the same spirit that you want to be understood, giving that spirit of understanding to your neighbor. I think if we were able to do that, man, we could really get through this and understand that, hey, there may not be a perfect solution in this, but look, the other side's not trying to kill your kid, just like you're not trying to kill their kid.
I think another, I 100% agree with you. And the other aspect of it is like, my wife and I might go ahead and look at a situation and go like, why the hell wouldn't they just pull their kids out of school, you know, and homeschool them, you know, that's how we might look at it. Wow. But then we have to go ahead and sit back and go, well, it's not that easy. You know, yeah, it's a hard decision to go ahead if you're used to a two income household and that's how you set yourself up. Like, it isn't something that just is like looking at today. It's like, how did you get to where you are today? And what do you have to do to maintain that? Because, you know, I'm in a lucky enough, you know, situation where my wife homeschools our four children and I've been the sole income provider forever for 20 years. So, you know, and so how do you go ahead and so for some of these questions, you know, these situations that came up for us were not an easy decision, but we're like, oh, we can handle this. We can pivot this because we've been doing this already, but not every situation and not every family and not has that same flexibility. And to go, yes, it's as simple as, yeah, you can 100% change your whole life and pull your kids out of school and do this and do that. But the rippling effects and the
not
negative.
Everybody can do that, John. Like,
no, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying. Like, it can't be done. It's, like
for some people, that is absolutely not an option at all. Right.
100%.
And so, you know, and that's why my point is like, look, you have to be understanding of, you know, this isn't just about your own personal situation. Like, there's other people in this space that can't handle situations the same way that you can. Don't live the same way that you can. Don't have, you know, for better or for worse, the same setup that you had, and you know, right, wrong, or indifferent. Like, stop thinking in these black and white ways and figure out, like, well, how can we create scenarios that can serve everyone? And you know, it's an incredibly challenging, you know, it's an incredibly challenging issue. You know, I feel very, you know, thank God for our educators and, you know, those who are doing the best that they can. You know, under mandates and other things, you know, whether they believe in them or not, whatever, you know, whatever they're doing in this case, it's an incredibly hard job. So shout out to all the teachers and administrators and people who are, you know, that are doing the best that they can. And, you know,
that's what this is all about.
There's no game plan for this.
No, and that's what this all, I mean, the important thing is we have to be sympathetic. We have to put ourselves in the other people's shoes. And we have to have empathy. If we can go ahead and do those things and understand, and this is, you know, with everything, this SASA talk, you know, this for you and me, this resonates. This is what this whole podcast is about. This is what, you know, this is, you know, this goes everywhere. Like, we are inclusive. We all come from diverse backgrounds, and however you look at that, from, you know where I'm going. We got this. Hey man, great episode. We kind of shot from the hip. You know, Amy, we're getting you on soon. I know you're enjoying your day today. Again, huge well shout deserved. Out to Amy Highnote. Yeah. Amy Highnote in the DARM conference. Shout out to everyone else that we went ahead and listed on earlier. We love what you're doing, Amy. Glad to be proud supporters of the VRM Intel, proud supporters of VRMA, and we're just incredibly honored to be in this space and keep putting, you know, and have the privilege to put this content out.
So speaking of conferences, you and I are doing something at a conference coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, right? Yeah, we do. Yeah, it's October. Yeah. VRMA International.
Yep. John and I are redoing the panel we did last year on DEI in the industry. It's a follow-up conversation to the panel we put out last year. So want everyone to definitely tune into that. We'll be giving you more details. Also excited to announce we're doing a DEI workshop at VRMA. So
I'm excited about that.
We're moving, man. Like, I love the verbs, right? So we're moving. So we are doing a DEI workshop Check out AVRMA. I'll be doing a blast pretty shortly. It's going to be the third, the Saturday, the Sunday before Monday, the conference actually starts. So to all of our listeners and watchers out there who are interested in attending, you will be able to get the information during the VRMA, on the VRMA website, VRMA.org. And we will definitely be pumping it on the show as well. And so if anyone who's interested in either attending the workshop or learning more about our panel, you can reach out to us, either through the website, LinkedIn. However, if you have any questions, you can get a hold of John and I. We're pretty accessible. So, but no, definitely want to get everyone who's interested in that out there. So we're looking forward to that. Big news for us. Get to do some more live events.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so excited, man. It's going to be so much fun. Great people, great content. We're going to definitely, we'll probably record at least two. We'll try to record a couple while we're there. We'll go ahead and we'll get the panel, and for sure on the website, we'll get that recorded as a, like an extra bonus content. We'll get that on there as well. And obviously through VRMA, you can go ahead and watch it. So again, great episode. As always, Mateo.
Man, this is fun.
My brother from another mother.
Sometime, I know. All right, brother. Well, happy week, man. Happy
week. Back at you. Looking forward to next week, and we'll keep on keeping on.